Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. It is my privilege to welcome you to this time of Christmas worship presented by our instruments and our choir. And it's good to see you, almost a full house in many ways this morning. If you are a visitor with us, we are very glad that you're here. Please fill out one of those cards in the back of the pew. And as the offering comes around, just drop that off. You can also go down to our welcome area and receive a gift down there. Just, we'd like to know more about you in the days to come. And we do have a few announcements that I'm going to make right off the bat this morning so that we don't have to do that at the end this morning. So tonight, we have church conference at 5 o'clock in this room right here, 5 o'clock, which is also going to be an opportunity to license Corey Morgan to the ministry. So that'll be here in the worship center. Then the Tomalata will be downstairs in Elmore Hall at 5:30, followed by caroling at Koinonia Homes after that, sometime between 6 and 6:30. On Thursday, we have the senior adult Tomalata. It will be at 11 a.m. in the Recreation Center, so I hope that you've got that on your calendar. On next Sunday, we have, next Sunday evening, we have the Children's Ministry sponsoring the Family Gingerbread Build at 5:30. I believe that's downstairs in Elmore Hall, I think. And then we have a Youth One Night in the Recreation Center at 5:30. That's next Sunday night, the 17th. And then on Christmas Eve, we do just have one service in the a.m., 10:45 service, no Bible study that morning. In the evening, we will have Candlelight Communion at 5 o'clock. So I hope that you'll be here for those services on Christmas Eve. And right now, we're going to hear from the Straleys. They're going to come and share with us about the second Advent candle. Oh, it would be good if I lit something.
All right, so today we're lighting the second Advent candle, and the reading comes from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. It says, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your son, and we just thank you for the gift that he is, God. And we just pray that we remember as we celebrate this season with family and with friends, God, that we would remember the reason for this season, God, and your son and the sacrifice that he made for us, God. And it's your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Sunday evenings during Bible's discipleship time. And if those would come forward at this time, we're going to sing a couple of songs with those children, and their leaders are going to come down and be in the front to help them get into place as we hear the story from Luke 2.
Entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Oh, flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
With him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, they return to their country by another route. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the privilege we have to gather together to worship you in such a special way this morning. It's so easy to get distracted at such a busy time of year. Lord, help us to never forget the true meaning of Christmas. As we bring our tithes and offerings, we recognize that it is in your image that we were created. So in your graciousness, make us gracious. In your faithfulness, make us faithful. So that these gifts we bring today may be an offering of true worship before you. Just as the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were to your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his holy name we pray. Amen.
Child in a land of a thousand. What a blessing. It's a blessing to sit with my wife today, too. That's been kind of a blessing as well. Twice throughout this presentation today, we have heard or sung versions of Silent Night. As I looked through the music that Johnny provided for me prior to this morning, I thought about that song, the history, and what it means. And so I just wanted to elaborate for just a moment on Silent Night. Some of you may know the history of the song. The song was actually written in 1816. The Napoleonic Wars, had to get that name right, Napoleon, had just wrapped up. Those wars ran from May of 1803 to November of 1815. A priest by the name of Joseph Moore, a Catholic priest from Oberndorf near Salzburg, was out one winter evening in early 1816, reflecting on the stillness that was on the land after the wars were over. And in 1816, in the winter, he wrote a poem that he titled Stille Nachte, Still Night. That was in 1816. 2 years later, the parish that he was over was flooded in the winter, just before Christmas. And so it rendered the organ unusable. And so he pulled that poem out, and he went to the organist before Christmas Eve, and he said, "Is there any way you could write a melody for this poem?" And in one afternoon, Franz Gruber wrote the melody that we know today as Silent Night. It was written actually for two voices and a guitar. Thought that was interesting. And that began the tradition, the history of one of the most beloved and worshipful Christmas carols that we have today. All because of a gentleman who was reflecting on the stillness of the night and reflecting on the stillness of that night that God took on flesh, that Jesus came to earth. As I've thought about the words of the song, into the calmness and the quiet, the silent night, a baby was born, a holy infant. Jesus has come. God took on flesh. The incarnation that we have been talking about, God became human. He didn't come into the hustle and bustle of a big city. He did not come with fanfare. There was not some big production or blinding light when God came to earth. He came instead in the stillness of a quiet, remote village in a somewhat insignificant country in the status of those days. He came in the stillness and the quietness of a lowly stable and was laid to rest in a humble feeding trough. The incarnation. Jesus set aside the blessings and comfort of heaven to be fully and physically present with us. The song that you just heard, When Love Was Born, there's a line in there that I think is one of the most powerful lines in the whole song. The line says, "Perfect child, gently wakes. A mother bends down to kiss God's face. Think about that for a moment. God took on flesh, became human. The created became the mother of the Creator. And she bent down and she kissed God's cheek. What a powerful image. This grand gesture of God becoming flesh, God becoming human, I believe was understated. Because it is not about the grand gesture. It is not about making fanfare, drawing attention. It is about a personal love. A personal love. That's why Jesus came. Because he loves you. And he loves me. His coming, as I said, was not in the hustle and bustle or the roar of a busy city, but rather in a still, quiet village in a corner of the world that in those days not many people had heard of. And I think it's important to note that his coming to each of us still happens very similarly. His coming to each person is not in the busyness and the roar of the rat race of life. His coming to each person is rather in the gentle stillness and silence of the individual heart. As I thought about that concept, the fact that God comes to us, Jesus comes to us in our innermost place. He comes to us knowing us better than we know ourselves, knowing all of the good and all of the bad, and yet comes anyway. I was reminded of a passage that would not normally be read at Christmas, but I want to read it to you now. It's the story of Elijah hearing from God. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." This is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave because God was there. It's in the stillness that God speaks. It's in the quiet stillness of our hearts that we hear him, that we are drawn to him. The problem is we stay so busy, so frantic, that we don't hear. But be reminded this Christmas season, because it is easy to become busy. It is easy to become distracted and not hear the gentle whisper of a little baby from a manger who comes to us in the stillness and in the quiet of our innermost being. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. It's one of the hardest things that we can ever try to do. But I challenge each of us to be still and receive the God in flesh today. Father, we thank you that you chose to come. You chose not the spectacle, but the average. Because you knew that it is in the stillness within us that we can hear you. You showed us that your love is not just for the wealthy, not just for the powerful, but just as much for the lowly and the average, the ordinary, the mundane. Your love is for all. Help us this season and really every day to be still and to receive you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Amen.
To sing this blessing over you this morning as we get ready to leave. The title of this is Christ Be Born in You. I'm going to sing that first for you, and then after that, we will be playing a postlude of some renown. It's known in the circles up here in this part of the platform as the Christmas fight song. And it was so named by Phil Cole. Some of you may remember Phil, who's gone to be with the Lord now, but played trombone for us for many, many years. And this song is called Christmas Joy and Glory, after you hear the blessing.